The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Now, my next guest is an internationally renowned educational psychologist. She has served as a consultant to hundreds of schools and corporations, including, get this, Sesame Street, Harvard, and the US Air Force. She is the keynote presenter at the Narrative for Ireland webinar, where she's going to address her concern for the pandemic generation of children and young people. Michelle Borba is her name. Michelle, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. An absolute pleasure to speak to you. Who are these children and young people? I mean, what age range are we talking about first?
Oh, we're talking across the board. In fact, I've been tracking this actually all over the world. It just came in from the Philippines, Hong Kong yesterday. And starting around the age of five, we're beginning to see an upsurge in anxiety and fears, particularly our teens. But the bottom line to this is we knew that they had problems prior. I've been looking at your stats, our stats, everybody's stats. Our kids were stressed before, and a crisis only amplifies a pre-existing issue. That's why we're going to talk about what we can do, because we can make a difference.
And why were they so stressed before all of this?
I think the culture has dramatically changed. Are you seeing that? It's first of all, the old sandbox has been removed from our kids' lives. Up when the anxiety about getting into the college, and it was many of the kids I interviewed said they were more concerned about their parents in terms of what grade did I get as opposed to what kind of a person I am. All of the village sort of kind of disabled so that we didn't really get to support our kids. And the bottom of a really resilient child is they've got about three things going for them. Phenomenal studies. They always have the caring person in their life who's calm. We're not so calm ourselves these days. So I know we're not talking about you. We're talking about the neighbor next door, but we all have to be calm because it's filtering down to our kids. The second thing is our children have pre-existing buffers, or they've learned protective coping strategies. And many of the kids said they'd been introduced to those strategies, like how to calm down or what are your stress signs, but it hadn't been internalized so that they couldn't use them and push came to shove. And then there's some kind of a village. It could be the school, the classroom, the home, someplace that really helps the child so they can feel safe and breathe. And then came the pandemic, which did nothing more than amplify all the existing issues, kind of like the perfect storm, which upped the rise of our children's stress.
Okay, so it genuinely circumstances have changed for children, because you know what some people say is that it's just this generation and they're not emotionally resilient enough.
In all fairness, we are seeing, by the way, that they're not as emotionally resilient. But why? I don't think it has anything to do with DNA. I think parenting has changed. We kind of helicoptered them and lawnmowered them and didn't want to disappoint them, where a resilient child has that sense of agency. I got this. I can get through it. I can do it. So maybe the first step is slowly start stepping back and never do for your kid what your kid can do for himself. Second of all, watch those things that we're forgetting. You had a fabulous study that just came out of Ireland that was all on just the power of nature, of walking, of just releasing yourself and decompressing. Sleep, which was making enormous difference on our kids' lives. There's a lot of ordinary things that can make extraordinary differences. So maybe that's the first thing, is look at those and start refiltering them back in. Getting back to rituals and routines in our homes can certainly make a difference. And then we can also teach what I'm going to be talking about with Narrative 4, that speech, is the skills that we can teach that'll help our kids, not just now, but later in this new thing called an uncertain world.
Yeah, it's funny when we talk about this or think about this in the context of the pandemic, you mentioned the importance of routine, and obviously routine has gone out the window to a large extent.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the importance of nature, and what a lot of people will say is how much time they're spending outdoors, going for walks, morning, noon and night out in nature, and their Henry David Thoreau and All Good Things Are Wild and Free and all of that, your own great philosopher. I mean, you know, so there's some things maybe in the last year, you know, will have lent something to emotional resilience, but other things are taking it away.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, the whole thing about resilience is finding the balance. So you notice that where most of us are burned out, and the reason that you get burned out is as your stress builds, you dial your empathy down. because you're in survival mode to take care of your stress. But then came physical distancing. We pulled away from what we needed most, which was connection. Our kids began to look more and more and more at screens. Don't go raising the white flag thinking there's nothing we can be doing about that. This is when you get grandma involved and say, zoom in, mom, every day around 10 o'clock. And you ask your child to make sure you're watching grandma's face to see how she's feeling today and what does she need. Because feelings, our kids need those in order to be able to tell us how they're doing, how the other person is doing. There's so many things because the social glue has sort of been unraveling, but we can still be creative in terms of tuning this up. Empathy, we've never seen, except with this pandemic, on why it matters so much on and just interrelationships, and then mental health across the world went down. But now it's time to take it back and maybe reprioritize the things that we do know, or way back when our grandparents knew, that we should maybe resurrect for our kids.
On the positive side, are at least children, and maybe not children, but younger teens at least, getting a little bit better at verbalizing these problems when they have them? You mentioned kind of previous generations. Those generations might have been told, you know what, suck it up and don't express these type of issues. Is that at least something we've gotten better at and younger people have gotten better at, is acknowledging these problems and telling people about them?
I hate to say it depends, but it depends. And it depends upon the parent, the home. Are you giving kids permission to share their feelings? Not to give them time out for that you can't feel sad, but giving permission to share. Maybe the first thing we can all do in our homes is just starting to help our kids know that it's okay to share how you're feeling. Say it. We do a heck of a lot better job at age two with our daughters, by the way, than we do with our sons, says Yale. So there goes guilt. I'm a mother of three boys. I looked at that study and went, oh, gee. But in reality, we do know now we got to look at the science and follow the simple little things that science says can make a difference. If you're not a verbal parent and you don't feel comfortable doing that, you can come up with a verbal signal. You do a nonverbal signal. We do that when we take our kids to the hospital and the doctor says on a scale of 0 to 7, how you feeling? Like a 0 is you're about ready to go to sleep. You're so relaxed. A 7 is your volcano is starting to erupt. Some parents say that they're creating quiet signals in a home, that I'm about a 3, which means I'm starting to go up. And then you can create calm down corners in your house. Help your kids start figuring out, what do I need to relax? And it could be a beanbag chairs, or it could be for little ones, my teddy bear in my pillow. I asked a group of kids, what do you need? Music. I said, what kind of music? Well, they finally discovered that Mozart is soothing. And I went, oh my gosh, really? Yeah. And I said, so what happens if you do something really good? A 14-year-old says, I crack up Elton John, I'm still standing, and I start walking around the house. But at least she could identify what matters to her.
Yeah.
Some kids, it's books. A group of kids said, Agatha Christie. And I said, give me a break. You're reading Agatha Christie. How cool is that? And she said, we ran out of books in the house, and my mom had a surplus of them. They're really good, you know. So maybe it's introducing things, because what we do know is that hobbies can help our kids decompress. Most of our kids didn't have them. That's an ordinary thing, but you can use those now the rest of their lives. They can find what helps them decompress and then go to it. They'll begin to use those when they finally leave us and go away to college or jobs, to be able to say it was a book or it was music. Could be woodworking. It could be the walk out to the great outdoors. But everybody in the whole world needs a go-to that's going to help them. They need to identify what their stress signs are when they're starting to get a little too irritable. You know, I grind my teeth, or I rock back and forth, or I make my hand go into a fist. That's cool. They'd be able to say, my body's warning me. Now, what are you going to do instead? Let's start teaching the replacer. And once we do, we're going to make a difference in our kids' lives.
And Michelle, listen, it's been really interesting speaking to you. And if you as well at home have been equally interested, the webinar, Pandemic Generation, Teaching Social and Emotional Skills to Young People, it's going to be hosted by Narrative for Ireland. It's on Thursday at 7 p.m. And you can find out more at narrative4.ie. And that's the number 4. So narrative4.ie. Michelle Borba, author, educational psychologist and expert in parenting, bullying and character development. Michelle is the keynote presenter at that webinar. Michelle, thanks a million for joining us here on The Hard Shoulder.